So as I said, we'll be doing things slightly different. So this is the first part of like a three-point sermon, and we won't be going up into the pulpit. We'll be staying down here today for this special service. We're thinking about this Harvest Day of fruitfulness, important theme that we have within Harvest, and we're thinking about our fruitfulness as Christians and as a church. So there's a picture up here of a vine. Hopefully the picture will arrive. Do you know what grapes are? You know grapes on a vine? Yeah. I was going to bring you some and show you, but they were so sweet and tasty that I've eaten them all. So you just got to look at the picture and to see what a vine looks like. Now this picture of a vine is really important throughout the Bible and is spoken of in the Old Testament many, many times. And the vine with grapes on it was the symbol of Old Testament Israel and is something that's spoken of throughout the scriptures. And at the time of Jesus, it was like their national symbol, their national flower and fruit was the vine. So there's another picture here. This is the great temple of Herod, and around the doorway, the great big pillars, was a sculpture, an engraved of a vine around the entrance to the temple. And this reminded God's people of their purpose. Their purpose was to be fruitful for God in the world. And there are many Old Testament references to this. So we're going to read together some of the Old Testament references, or I'm going to show them to you. The first one is Psalm 80. He said, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." There's a picture of a vine, and a vine, what it loves to do. This is really echoey. What a vine loves to do is to go out and to plant new plants and to spread out. And so God was saying that Israel was supposed to be like a vine that would spread out through the promised land that God had given to them. Then Ezekiel said this, said Israel had been planted in good soil by abundant water so that it would produce branches, bear fruit, and become a splendid vine. So the purpose of the people of God was to produce good fruit, tasty fruit, sweet fruit. To be good people is what that means for God. And then Isaiah said this, Isaiah 5, says he had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. Then it says, "What more could I have done for my vineyard?" It's a picture of God like a vine owner, or like a gardener, like a farmer who cares for his crop, cares for the plant, does everything that he can to make it grow and to help it grow, to be abundant and fruitful. But sadly, the people of God were not fruitful as God had intended. And again, the prophet spoke to two more short verses. Jeremiah 2, God says, "I had planted you like a choice vine out of sound and reliable stock. So how then did you turn against me into a wild vine?" And then Isaiah said, "Then he," meaning God, "looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit." Bad fruit is not nice, is it? In fact, that can be literally translated as smelly fruit or stinky fruit. Fruit that has got old and has gone rotten and begins to smell is not nice fruit. You don't want to eat it. So we, as the people of God, as Christians, as the church, whatever our age, God wants us to produce good fruit in our lives. We'll learn a little bit more about that later. But the truth is that sometimes we produce bad fruit in our lives. Things not as God intends. And we call that sin. Bad fruit is sin. Bad fruit is the things that we do wrong. Bad fruit is the bad things that we think. It is the rotten attitudes that we can have very often. And a good vine dresser, a good farmer, as he cares for his crop of fruit, will clean the fruit and make sure that it doesn't go rotten. And God has given us a means to be kept clean. It's called confession and repentance. And then God gives us his forgiveness. And it's his way of keeping us clean so that we don't go rotten and bad, and so that we produce good, beautiful fruit in our lives. So that's why we have confession every time we meet on a Sunday in church, to remind us of this. So we're going to have a time of confession now. We're going to use a special harvest prayer to do that. So you might want to remain seated, but some of you might like to kneel as well as we come to confession. So please kneel or be seated. And we're going to confess our sin. And the words will appear up on the screen. So let us confess our sin and the sins of our society in the misuse of God's creation. God our Father, we are truly sorry for the times when we have used your gifts carelessly and acted ungratefully. In your mercy, forgive us and help us. We enjoy the fruits of the harvest, but sometimes forget that you have given them to us. In your mercy, forgive us and help us. We belong to a people who are full and satisfied, but ignore the cry of the hungry. In your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are thoughtless and do not care enough about the world you have made. In your mercy, forgive us and help us. As we continue, we're going to use what we call the general confession. It will be on the screen. You can also find it on page 29 in the diocesan service books. So now we confess our sins as a church together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow men in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And let us receive the forgiveness of God. May Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for reading the word. We pause also for a moment for this segment, a second segment of the word and the sharing this morning. Well, we just read from the passage of Galatians, and we're going to share about pruning to produce good fruit. And the passage talks a lot about the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and on and on. And all these are good and beautiful fruits, isn't it? But in the verses leading up to Galatians 5:22 are verses we don't normally read about. And here, Paul talks about the other things that needs to be cut off in order that these good fruits may grow. And in the earlier verses, in verses 19, in one of the versions, it says this: these are the wrong things of the sinful self. That and the list goes on: committing sexual sin, being morally bad, doing all kinds of shameful things, worshipping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, being jealous, angry or selfish, causing people to argue, being filled with envy, getting drunk, and having wild parties. And Paul basically says these are the things that are unbecoming of the people of God. That those of us who belong to Jesus are to cut off these things so that we can grow in the fruit of the Spirit. If you are to bear the good fruits of Christ, then like the vineyard, pruning is necessary and even critical. What is pruning? Pruning is a process of cutting away dead branches or overgrown leaves in order that growth is encouraged. His goal is not to destroy, but is to promote fruitfulness. Not yet, huh? Okay, just hold on to that picture. Now, this is a very common practice in the agricultural, especially in the growing of grapes in the vineyard, which is what the Bible often refers us to. And you see in this picture, the branches are regularly pruned, and sometimes even to this stage, where it almost looks barren. You know, and then it's left there, and then when harvest season comes, it slowly grows. And the day comes when the vine produces huge, juicy grapes. In the next picture, you see. You know, yummy, right, children? That's how you get big, juicy grapes. You know, pruning is important. But pruning does a few things. Pruning cuts out those branches which are unfruitful. Those parts that are not helpful to the vine. Those parts that affect the fruitfulness of the vines. It may be parts that are diseased, or it may be parts that are not growing properly, growing in the wrong places, blocking the fruits. And so pruning needs to cut out those things. At the same time, pruning also cuts back on branches so that those that are left will be even more fruitful. And you know what? It's the same with our lives. God sometimes puts us through a season of pruning, a season of cutting away things in our lives that are unhealthy, they are sinful, they are disobedient to God, things that are not fruitful, not compatible with God's kingdom. And certainly these areas of our life goes against God's word, like what we were talking about just now. When we promote sinful thoughts, when we hate people, when we cause trouble, when we are jealous, we are angry, we are selfish, these are the things that prevents us from growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And pruning is the process of removing these areas of sin and disobedience so that we can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. The Bible also tells us that every branch that bears fruit, God also prunes, so that we will bear even more fruit. Pruning not only involves cutting out that which is not helpful, but it also means removing areas of distraction, areas of excess, so that we can focus on what is best. Sometimes we see God removing things in our lives that seem good. And we often find ourselves asking, why, Lord? Why did you remove this from me? Pruning is often a painful experience, a painful process. But God assures us that He desires the best for us. And so pruning is necessary because it enables us to produce more good fruit. Just as sometimes too many branches and too many leaves overwhelms the fruit, covers the fruits, and it results in smaller fruits. So too, in our lives, there are many things that distract us, many things that prevent us from growing big, juicy fruits. And God sometimes has to remove certain things in our lives so that we can focus on that which is best for us. And in such times, pruning, painful times of pruning, painful times of cutting off, painful times of cutting back, my prayer is that we learn to respond with thanksgiving. Just as Job in the Bible did, when many things were removed from him, when he lost many things in his life, but yet he responded, and the Bible records for us in Job chapter 1, verse 21. This is, and I hope that we will also respond this way. And he, after losing everything, he prayed. He said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." May we all learn to respond as Job did in times of pruning. I want to prepare our hearts for the gospel reading with a gradual hymn. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Shall we stand?
This is the third and last part of our sermon this morning. And you've just heard in the gospel reading, Jesus was bringing together all of the rich teaching and the imagery and the symbolism of about being a vine. And he brought it all together and focused it in himself. He said, I am the true vine. In other words, he's saying, I am the one in whom the true life of God is to be found. I am the true vine. And then Jesus goes on, and we just heard, to explain how Christian disciples know his life in them. And he talks about pruning, and Reverend Alvin has just spoken to us about the importance of pruning. But then he went on in verse 4 to say something that is so very, very important for us to know. Verse 4 says this, the words will come up. Let us say these words together. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Other translations, instead of using the word abide, uses the word live in. We can say, live in me and I will live in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must live in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you live in me. Now, one of the things that we cannot do is to force the fruit of the Spirit that Pastor Alvin was telling us about. We cannot force the fruit of the Spirit to be born in us, to grow in us, any more than a mango can think very hard and force itself and grow a banana. Cannot do that, can it? Nor can a banana tree work very hard and bear a durian. Cannot do that. The same with us. We cannot grow the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, unless we are connected to Jesus, who is the vine. Now, I've got some helpers who are going to come and help. So we are going to pretend this is a vine. So who's going to hold and who's going to trail? You're going to trail? Okay. So if you stand here and take it up the end. Can do it that way. Good plan. I think it'll come off that way a bit quicker. Good plan. Okay, we're pretending this is a vine. And then we're going to pretend that this vine is Jesus, who is the vine. So all the way to the end. Are we there yet? Nearly. Now what I'd like us to do, I would like all the children to come out, and I would like you to line up along here and hold on to the vine. Can you do that? So some of you will have to go all the way up the back, and so we've got you nicely spread out. So if there are any in the congregation there, children, if you want to come out and be part of this, please do. Don't all go up that far. Wait, slow. Come back. Come back. Some of you come back. So we've got a nice line. Hey, anybody in the south transept, you want to come out? Can? Well done. Oh, we've got lots coming out here. Come on, children, you can come here. Come and hold on. Now, while they're doing this, now there's a big gap in the middle. Okay, good job. Now some of you go back. Some of you go back, some of you go back, some of you go back. We're nearly there. Oh, don't pull the white rope with you. Don't take the rope with you. Yeah, watch their hands. Can you let go now? It's not tug of war we're playing. Okay, are we nearly there? Can you, little children, can you go back a little bit more? Hey, this is a good problem, lots of little children. I want to say to the adults, while the children are getting organized here, We don't very often have the children in with us every week, and I want us to understand how important part of the church that they are. So we've got this vine which is like the vine of Jesus, and I want to show you that the children are attached to the vine of Jesus, and that we must do all that we can to ensure that they grow in the fruit of the Spirit and they grow in Christ, and that they belong to us. This is all part of our church. Okay, you can sort of relax, hold on to the vine. I also wanted to say, if any of you have a heart for children or for youth ministry, and you would like to serve within a children and youth ministry, we would really love to have you involved. So you need to speak to Gay or to me or any of the children and youth ministers that are here, leaders that are down here, and we'd love to get you involved. No, come back here. What are you all going up there for? I want you back. Some of you come back here. Go and organize them. Go on. Okay, we are now imagining that this is Jesus the vine. Okay, stop. All hold on. Congregation, I would like you to please stand up. And now those of you who are on the edge here, I would like you to either hold on to the vine or hold on to the hand of a child if you can't reach the vine. So just step out of into the aisles and hold on to the vine. That's it. Come on out. And then I'd like you all to hold hands through the aisles. So you're linking. So can you see what we're trying to do? I cannot pass a vine through every single person, but we can all link up. And we can imagine that we're all connected to this vine that's running up the center of the church. I'm sorry those out in South Transept and choir up the back and lay readers and servers here. So you all hold hands as well. And you've got to imagine that we're all linked to this vine. And what we need to understand, you see, is the vine of Jesus represents the life of God. And in Jesus, the true vine, his life grows through the vine. And what are we? We are the branches. And you're now symbolizing the branches. So the life of Jesus flows through the vine out into the branches. And this is what produces the fruit of the Spirit within us. It can only be produced if we are living and attached to the vine. If we disconnect from the vine, then the life of Jesus cannot flow through us, and we cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. So this is so important for every age group to understand. We must live in Jesus. We must abide in the vine. And then we grow the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. So as we're holding, I'm just going to pray a prayer for us, okay? So let's close our eyes. Keep holding the vine. Keep holding each other's hands. Lord, as your people, you have called us to live in you and to receive our life from you. And we pray now that we might know your life flowing in us and through us, that we might produce your fruit. Fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. May the character of Jesus be formed in us and be shown through us. And as we're praying, just quietly pray for the person that you're holding the hand of, that you're next to, that the life and the fruit of Jesus might grow within them. And Lord, we, as St. Andrew's Church, we are a branch of the vine. So we pray that the fruit of your Spirit would flow in us as a church, through each and every congregation, through every age group that meets in this place. May we know the life of Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to be seated, there's one more thing I want to do. So if you'd like to be seated, and if the little children, please, can you go back to your mummies and daddies and granny and granddad or whoever brought you to church today? No, we're going to keep the vine for a moment. So So let go of the vine. Atticus, let go of the vine. Thank you. Good boy. Don't wind the vine up anymore, because you've got another job to do. So when the children come and sit down, now what I would like you to do, you can keep it like that. So I need you to keep it like that, okay? Come on. Come on, move along now. Great job. I want you now to take the vine outside. 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 Go on, take it outside. No, you go as well. The life of Jesus, the vine of God, is for outside. It's not for us to keep locked up here in the church. The vine is to grow and to spread around Singapore and out to the nations. The fruit of the Spirit is to be lived out into the world. So there's a visual symbol of that as well. So let's bow our heads and pray again. Lord, we pray that the witness of this church, that our witness in our families and our communities and our workplaces and our schools and our universities, that we might bear good fruit for you in the world, bringing glory to you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.